Welcome to this edition of What in God's Name. Last night, September 30th, 2020, we had our first live webinar. On webinar weeks, What in God's Name does not record a new show, so here is a replay of one of our more popular shows in the last year, How Will American Democracy Survive? Walt Whitman and Bonds of Affection. Shana and I made this show nearly a year ago in October of 2019. Listen now and see how our conversation has aged in a year. If you like what you're hearing on What in God's Name, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, leave a review on our Facebook page at What in God's. Shana and I will be back next week with a new show. Welcome to What in God's Name. She is Shana Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
We welcome our new listeners to the show. We keep expanding our audience, and we're so grateful that you can join us. I extend a special welcome to those of you who signed on to receive What in God's Name at the recent New Hampshire Conference United Church of Christ annual meeting. Welcome to you folks and to all. Because our audience is growing, Shana, I like to spend a moment resetting our show for folks who are joining us.
Go for it, Chris.
We do current events and culture from a theological and philosophical point of view. Our core values, be curious,
go deep,
and shine light. Shana, I was thinking about Brussels sprouts the other day.
Of course you were.
Comparing Brussels sprouts to our show. When I listen,
I can't wait to hear this. Go for it, Chris.
When I listen to our show, I think, man, that is 25 minutes of pretty dense stuff. And it's demanding on our audience, I think. And so, first of all, I'm appreciative to our audience for spending that time. But I think, like Brussels sprouts, what we have to offer is nutritious. It takes a certain amount of seriousness to eat a Brussels sprout.
For some of us, I've always liked Brussels sprouts, or as I used to call them as a kid, broccoli balls.
Awesome.
I love me some Brussels sprouts.
So part of our aim is to provide something nutritious for us as fellow citizens of this country that aspires to be self-governing. We need to spend some serious time seriously considering what's going on in the world.
Oh, especially in this time, Chris.
And so, you know, Brussels sprouts, it's not dessert, Brussels sprouts, but they're good for you. They're dense.
And it's important to start with the veggies first.
As our audience keeps growing, we have been inviting this fall, we've been inviting you, our listeners, to help us expand the audience. Choose a favorite show. Maybe it was last week's show, Shana, that some people have found as a favorite. We did get a lot of reaction to our show on forgiveness. Choose whatever is your favorite show, and please, we are asking you to help us by sharing that show with your social network, with your friends. Recommend What in God's Name out there into the world. We think we're offering something that's important and that is helpful for our common life held together.
Something good and good for you. Yes. Like Brussels sprouts.
Today we're going to take a look at Walt Whitman. There's something about his vision of who we are as a democracy, this quintessentially American voice and American vision. It's a mid-19th century vision, and yet it's pertinent to today. One of the jumping off places for us is an article by Mark Edmondson that appeared in the Atlantic Monthly some months ago. In the mid-19th century,
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
In the mid-19th century, Ralph Waldo Emerson was looking for and felt the need for a poetic voice to express the American soul. And Walt Whitman responded and wrote this poem, Song of Myself, which appeared in a collection, Leaves of Grass. This poem, Song of Myself, which we're not going to read for you, but you can look it up, and it's really a magnificent expression of a spiritual view of American democracy. Whitman describes, it's entitled Song of Myself, but soon we recognize that the self that Whitman is celebrating is not just his personal individuality separate from others, but this, what I characterize as a beautiful vision of interconnectedness, myself understood as imbued with, soaked in divinity, connected with every other soul, also soaked in and imbued with divinity. And so Song of Myself becomes this poem and vision of a spirit-held connection.
And since Whitman is one of the prophets of Unitarian Universalism, it's not surprising to find this perspective in our seventh principle, in which we covenant to affirm and promote the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
I wanted to start with love and affection held across a society or a nation. Is it a naive view, or is it a view that really we can't do without? And if we do stand in this, if we do stand for love and mutual affection as the bonds that hold us together as a democracy, what are the difficulties of that? Where does it fall short? And it seems to me that there needs to be a deep foundation for this kind of self-governance to work.
Which Edmondson himself says on the last page, when he talks about one of his takeaways from Emerson, is that hate is not compatible with true democracy or spiritual democracy. He says, we may wrangle and fight and squabble and disagree. Up to a certain point, Whitman approved of conflict, but affection, friendliness must always define the relations between us. When that affection dissolves, the first order of business is to restore it.
It sounds quaint, I think, to our ears in the midst of the times that we live in. It sounds quaint to think, if I am a person who is standing on the side of love across our democracy as the foundation of holding us together, am I simply being naive? But I don't see how there's another alternative. I mean, one idea is to say that we're united under the bonds of the Constitution, which is another way of understanding Americanness, that we affirm and that we live by that document. But that's a very head-centered kind of way of understanding connection. Like we're connected by this document. Whereas Whitman is pointing to some kind of connection that's emotional and spiritual. And so my way of thinking is, yes, we are connected by the Constitution and by the laws of the land, and that's not enough.
Right, right. We are also connected by that divinity that you were just talking about. The sacred in me, the holy in me, sees the holy in you.
And what's wonderful about Whitman's vision is that it's not creedal. It may have roots in Christianity or in Unitarian Universalism, but it's very
Judaism.
Much, yeah. But it's very much the way Whitman expresses it, it's very non-denominational, non-creedal, almost non-religious.
He was a radical in his day, because we have to remember that the Puritan ethic was still pretty strong here in New England. So here's Whitman saying there is a divine in all of us. We are all children of God, which is a very universalist message at a time when the Puritan thesis is still that, you know, only a few are elect, only a few are good enough to comprise the church. The rest of us are going to hell. And so this message was pretty radical, all things considered. But I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying, referring back to what Whitman is lifting up about how the democracy cannot function when there is animus between people. And I think, wow, never has there been in our history, I think, a clearer time. Maybe one could look back at the Civil War and think otherwise. But all one needs to do right now is to look at what is taking place within our government. Democrats and Republicans, as two parties, were intended to balance each other out. And they can only balance each other out insofar as they are talking to one another. I don't know exactly where it started or who started it, and I'm less interested in you know, being able to identify that. We've got to get beyond this because we are in gridlock. We are in virtual shutdown right now for our incapacity to speak across lines to have affection for one another on that most basic level.
Two things about what you said. One, talking about the divisions and the animus of today, that spurred me to think of course, again, this time that Whitman is writing in, which is leading up to the Civil War. And so there's a pertinence to that timing that Whitman occupied that particular space in our history. And maybe that's a reason why his words can be important to us today, those mm-hmm. of us who are mm-hmm. aiming to heal divisions and to create a really healthy public life. Whitman can be helpful. Another piece of reflection on what you were talking about the way that our public life is divisive. I refer to our experience at the Trump rally in Manchester, and I hasten to add that it would not only be a Trump rally. The notion of both sides-ism does apply. Sometimes it doesn't apply, but I think both sides-ism does apply to what I'm about to say, which is the paradigm under which we are operating is a lot like rooting for your sports team. There's the red team, the blue team, but that mindset of rooting for your sports team is a really limited way to understand our common life together. There needs to be a better, a more generous, a wider paradigm. The sports team paradigm is I will find a sense of belonging and a sense of connectedness by rooting for my team, which means I'm against your team.
Which is fine for a game. But in a democracy, it doesn't work so well because a democracy, like being a part of any community, calls each and every one of us to get beyond what would be personally good for me to what is in the best interest of the community. And what is in the best interest of the community at times isn't going to be what would be fun for me. You sacrifice the individual for the betterment of the whole. And we're missing that.
And that's what makes self-governance so difficult.
Yeah.
And why it takes a certain amount of seriousness, back to the Brussels sprouts, you know, it takes a certain amount of seriousness on the part of people to wrestle with that very question. Where can I let go of my own personal interest to serve a wider good? And that is a crisis in our public life.
But I also think people have to be asked. In the church settings that I've served, you know, I may be having a conversation with the congregation or maybe the board, and my first question around any particular issue is, you know, what would you like to see happen here? And we'll go around the table and everybody will offer an answer for that. And the second time we go around the circle, I change the question to what do you think is in the best interest of the congregation here? And that absolutely first gives them an opportunity to identify first what they're thinking and what would be good, and then to reflect on the bigger issue. But we have to be called to that. And, you know, historically, that's been a place where our leaders have existed and where their moral and spiritual and ethical leadership has been so invaluable. Man, we just have a vacuum of that today.
We do at the national level. I'm thinking that there have to be places where that kind of leadership is happening, and wherever it is, I don't have any examples for you, Shana, but wherever it is happening, alleluia.
Yeah.
That is the spirit that will heal. It will heal and make self-governance not just good, but even possible.
That getting into the bigger, the overarching spiritual, ethical, moral perspective puts us back in touch with the architecture of our interdependence. Whereas when we're just rooting for, when I'm just rooting for my team, I don't need to be interconnected to, you know, Yankees fan. I'm all Red Sox here. You know, I didn't cry when the Yankees blew out of the World Series, where the pennant race this year. Yankees are down, far out, you know. But that's all in fun. I don't intend for that to be serious. I don't seriously hate Yankees fans, much as, you know, we may wear the T-shirts that, you know, are poking fun at them. It's just not intended to be a way of life. And unfortunately, I think you're right. I think we're there.
Yeah, that's the paradigm. I want to circle back for a second to Song of Myself, appeared in a volume called Leaves of Grass. Leaves of Grass is a metaphor of American democracy. Each piece of grass is an individual, but then each individual piece of grass is connected into a unity. Shana, what's the quote?
He writes that Whitman's vision can sound appealing. Who would not want to be part of everyone and everything and feel the presence of all one's fellows in a democracy, calmly and affectionately, not in Darwinian competitive ways? He's really, I think, calling us to a both and, both to the blade of grass and to the lawn, if you will, or to the, you know, the array of grasses.
To the oneness. That's the language that I hear as you read that is, yes, the individuality. And then the sense of oneness, one with another, that.
And I can't help but wonder in today's society whether or not it's possible for the vast majority of folks to hold two seemingly disparate ideas at the same time. It seems to me that one of the byproducts of the, I'll go back to the team metaphor, the sports metaphor, you know, the rooting for our team, the animosity, is that it does extend to ideas. So it must be, it seems to me the vast majority of thinking today runs along the lines of, well, it must be either this or that. And I think Whitman is saying you kind of have to hold both of those things, since both of those things are true, even if seemingly disparate.
I find interesting how you characterize that mentality, that team paradigm, affecting how we think about things. My idea is the winner, therefore your idea must be the loser. And like you say, in certain circumstances, it can be a both and. That's a great idea. Here's my great idea. Let's put them together into something that can work. Now, obviously, that doesn't work all the time.
But that was how the democracy was designed, with checks and balances. So for checks and balances to work, checks and balances need to interact on some level and not shut each other down and shut each other out.
It's checks and balances, not zero-sum cancellations.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me read another piece of Edmondson's article that shows how Whitman speaks to us today. Shana, you may have read a little bit of this earlier, but it's worth hearing again. He says, "Whitman speaks to our moment in many ways. One of them is quite simple. At a time when Americans hate one another across partisan lines as intensely, perhaps, as they have since the Civil War, Whitman's message is that hate is not compatible with true democracy, spiritual democracy. We may wrangle and fight and squabble and disagree. Up to a certain point, Whitman approved of conflict, but affection, friendliness, must always define the relations between us. When that affection dissolves, the first order of business is to restore it."
Which is the essence of spiritual, right? I mean, if we think of the soul as that internal piece, that part of ourselves which is unique, which is our essence, which cannot be shaken, which is the most powerfully us thing that there is, then spirit is the thing which is more outwardly focused, which connects us each to each and each to all. So in Whitman's world, there's a balance between those two. The two have to coexist, because taking either one and running with it alone will throw everything out of balance. And I think that's probably true. I mean, it makes sense to me that if I am only concerned with what is true for me, like, that's going to make me a really obnoxious person and unable to play in the grown-up sphere of how do we make this work for us all in democracy? In like fashion, if I allow myself to simply be connected to everything outside of me, the each to each and each to all, then I've lost my own moral grounding. So again, there are these two things which may seem initially disparate, but which have to be held together. One needs to cultivate both soul and spirit in order to participate in this game called democracy.
So to bring our show to a close today, Shana, I'm wondering if you and I both can think of what is the takeaway idea here, or what is a takeaway question that we should continue to wrestle with?
You know, I come back to a poem by Maya Angelou, which she concludes with the words, "No one but no one makes it out here alone. Alone, all alone. Nobody makes it alone." And I think Whitman was onto something. I think that we're in pretty dire straits right now, and the way out of the corner we've gotten ourselves painted into is going to have to begin, we need to stop and begin to work on relationship. And that is the only way we're going to get out of this corner. I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Shana, my takeaway is that Whitman addresses something crucial for our time. For this experiment in self-governance to have life for the future, we will need to rediscover bonds of affection. Whitman's vision is beautiful. It's based on this radical theology that all of us carry the mark of divinity. And it's so uniquely American in that it transcends old creeds, old customs, old religion, old Europe and its divisions.
And while it sounds initially flowery at the surface, I think when we stop to think about it, we can see how much heavy lifting and how much work it in fact involves.
That is so true. People hear words like love and affection and they think, oh, all I have to do is conjure up these warm and fuzzy feelings in my heart. But forming communities of love requires skill, and it requires work, it requires practice.
And it involves guidance. It involves, you know, the words of prophetic women and men. It involves teachings from Judeo-Christian and other religions. It involves a recognition and identification and understanding of what earth-centered traditions have to offer us. I mean, we have to be able to pull all of that together and take from that wisdom, because it is more than we can do individually. I mean, it's going to just require more. So, again, the both and.
Beautiful, Shana. Be curious.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine the light. You can find out more about What in God's Name by going to our website, www.whatingods.com, WHATINGODS. You got anything to add, Shana?
Friends, if you're out there and taking a listen today and you have any feedback you want to offer us, we are always interested in hearing from you.
We are always taught by and learn from you. So please be in touch. Email, Facebook. Good to see you, Shana.
Good to see you, Chris.